Blog Talk Radio. This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening. Good morning and welcome to another podcast of Creative Conversation. Today we have on the line Jan Carney. Morning, Jan.
Good morning, Alpha, and it's Jane, just to be clear. Jane Carney.
Okay, Jane Carney. Thank you for that correction of your name. So, Jane, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay.
You're currently on the Exhibitions Committee at the Evanston Arts Center, and you've agreed to join us today to comment on Curate and Curator. But before we begin that conversation, can you give us a trajectory of your own career and what you do as an artist?
Sure. And thank you for inviting me for this to this conversation. I've been really looking forward to it. I'm a visual artist working out of my studio in Evanston, Illinois. I have been interested in art and making a career of it since high school, really, and studied and majored in fine arts in college with a concentration in painting. Really thinking at that point that I wanted to be an artist and really did not consider education at all, but as a favor to my mom, actually, I ended up getting a teaching certificate, which I kind of just put away and thought, oh, maybe somewhere down the line I'd use it. But I've always had a studio in some shape or form, usually out of my home, and continued to make art after college. And then kind of found myself doing some substitute teaching and eventually teaching in a high school, running their art department, and really, really, really enjoyed education, arts education. I always came to the table, though, as a working artist. I found that when I was going through my educational process, the teachers that most affected me were teachers that were working artists first, and so they were really examples of how to keep a studio, how to make art, and I don't want to say teaching was secondary, but it was always in partnership with being a working artist. So I did end up having a wonderful career in arts education too, working 20 years at Loyola Academy as a visual arts chair, and in that time, I was able to mentor a lot of student teachers that were coming, you know, from the Art Institute or coming from Lewis College or various universities that wanted to become art teachers. So that was really rewarding to me. I'm right now represented by a gallery in Columbus, Ohio, that has really upped my production, I guess, and it's been really rewarding to have a gallery behind me right now. And so I continue to show. I have always also continued right up until COVID started. You know, I'm usually always interested in doing workshops or residencies because I think there's that the importance of constantly feeding, you know, your artistic appetite, for lack of a better word. And so I've usually tried to keep up my education at the same time. And I just have a very regular studio practice, you know, whether I go and nothing happens and I just sit there and kind of reflect, or I go and I work for 8 hours making marks on a canvas. So I think I'll stop there because I could keep going, but I'm sure there's other things you might want to talk about.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to kind of backtrack, and you talked about the gallery in Columbus, Ohio.
The name of that gallery would be?
The Brandt Roberts Gallery, B-R-A-N-D-T Roberts Gallery.
And how did you form that relationship, you know?
It was interesting to how that worked. You know, I have certainly pursued different gallery situations where I have sent work to various galleries and at times been included in shows, but this was really the reverse. They found me about 5-6 years ago. I had a piece in the Bridgeport Arts Center group show. You're probably familiar with that they have once a year.
Yes.
And the gallery owner, Michelle Brandt, happened to be in Chicago looking for artists, and she noticed my painting and got a hold of me and asked me if I wanted to be in a group show. And, you know, of course, at first I was like, okay, this is some kind of scam, but it wasn't. And that piece sold, and then she just kept asking me for more work. And then eventually 2 years ago decided she'd represent me, and it's just it's been a wonderful relationship. So I'm very, very grateful, grateful to her and the gallery.
So when you say it's really important to talk about relationships, you know, in the arts and how we form those relationships, so I'm getting a lot of conversation also about galleries and how they represent artists. And then when the artists make it big, they don't recognize the gallery that got them started, right? Even though we all know that our careers blossomed and bloomed and we invested a lot into, you know, the foundation of our careers to get us to that point where a gallery will represent us. But life after gallery representation, you want to comment on that?
Yes. Well, I think, you know, first and foremost, you have to be your own advocate because, you know, at this point, I'm very lucky to have someone that believes in my work. And you know, and so far so good. She represents a wide range of different artistic styles. But, you know, having had many years without gallery representation, you know, I'm very aware of it, you know, that, you know, I need to self-promote and try to get the work out there in a wide range of venues. So I think I feel very blessed to have this relationship right now, and I don't take it for granted, but I'm also very much a self-promoter, and I think that's important.
Great. So you're not, like, exclusively represented by that gallery?
No, she is very open to, you know, if another gallery approaches, or I have a woman in Evanston, that a company called Art and Object, Shannon Cahill, who I'll use the word represents my work in the Chicago area. So she's done a lot of sales for me in this area. So they work together often if you know, Shannon has a client that's interested in something and it's at the gallery. They work back and forth nicely. So that's all good.
Okay. So, you know, I only asked that because you are fortunate enough, like I said, to have the background that you have as an artist and educator. And now you're in your curatorial practice. And
yeah.
This is how you come to the Evanston Arts Center, and you're on a curatorial committee. And so I think that, you know, kind of laying out your trajectory of where you are, I'm going to start asking these questions about the practice of curatorial, you know.
Yeah.
And whereas today it's widely debated and widely discussed, when people are tagging themselves or calling themselves curators without building their career to be there, as you have done.
Yeah.
And maybe the question I want to ask is, what does it mean to curate a collection, an exhibition? And these days, it's even a website that we're curating.
Right. Well, going to come up, this question, and so I've done a lot of thinking about it over the last week, and you know, my initial response, and I was actually talking to a friend of mine that I would say is a professional curator, you know, in costume restoration. She's lived between Italy and in Chicago for years, married an Italian man. So I was able to sit down with her because my first reaction is I'm not a curator. I curate, but I'm not a curator. I don't define myself that way. Like, I do define myself as an artist. But then I started looking at what the word means and different approaches to curating and what we do curate other than exhibitions, et cetera. And, you know, I went back to the word curator, and it comes from the Latin word cura, which means to take care. And having had years of working in a Jesuit high school and being exposed to Jesuit education and teaching, you know, one of their guiding principles is cura personalis, which means care of the person. So, you know, I think, you know, curating to me, or to curate, means to select or organize, in the traditional sense, objects or works of art. But if you just look at it as a means of selecting and organizing, you know, I think we curate all the time. And we curate, I often think about, I curate what I put on every morning. We curate our homes, you know. And so in the broad sense of the word, I think if you're looking at selection and editing, you know, we all curate, I think. But for me, maybe the distinguishing quality is the intent, you know. So when I curate possibly an outfit, there's an intention there of a message I want to get across. And when I was talking to my friend, who is a curator, who's curated many, many different exhibitions in Florence, you know, for her, she said it's about the message. It's about the story you're going to tell with your presentation of whatever it is. So I was thinking a lot about that because I think, you know, we all make selections and all the time in our daily lives. But I think the curating part of it gets to the intention and the message and the story you want to tell when you're curating. And so, you know, I think, like, I curate all the time on a smaller scale. I have done, actually, the relationship with the Evanston Art Center started maybe, probably 10 years ago when Paula Danoff and I started. I was at Loyola at the time at high school, and I had the Advanced Placement Art Program, and Paula came over to Loyola, and we started talking about how we could create a relationship between Loyola Academy students and the Evanston Art Center. And it started by we had a show at the Art Center. They graciously offered their gallery space for me to curate a show with the advanced art students. And it was really a win-win on both sides because we got a lot of students and families into the Art Center that did not know what the mission of the Art Center was, did not realize the, you know, kind of wealth of educational opportunities and exhibits. So they had a whole new audience, and then the students were able, these advanced students, who a lot of them were going on to study art, they were able to really curate their own little body of work. I was curating a larger show, with a definite message, but they were able to curate their own body in the within the exhibition. So that's still going on, and I'm really proud of that. And that has a lot to do with Paula's vision of what the Art Center could be. So, you know, I think with the actual exhibition committee, we are selecting individual artists, you know, because the mission of the Art Center is extensive and innovative instruction in broad areas of artistic endeavor. And we are selecting diverse contemporary artists. But I'm getting more and more interested in actually curating a show, whether it be there or at another venue, where, you know, I mean, I think we could talk further about curating the power of the message or the dialogue that we want to create, is the curator. You know, the curator has the power, as I'm sure you're finding with your new role, you know, as a curator for this, for the Evanston Arts Center. But I think, you know, so I don't know, I'm kind of rambling, but I do think, you know, curating, a lot has to do with the scale. You know, I might curate my website. Well, I do curate my website. And, you know, sometimes I think, should it be chronological and show how the work's evolving? Or should it be curated by different bodies of work and different approaches to materials? Or should it be curated by themes? So I think, you know, that's on a small scale, but obviously curating a museum or a larger space, you know, the scale increases, the power increases, the opportunity for dialogue, you know, and we're talking, and I know we want to get on social justice too. So I guess with me being an artist, I'm always, there's always an intention to what I'm curating. I'm going to stop there because I'm rambling, but, and I know you want to probably jump in.
No, you're not rambling. I'm listening because, again, you know, as a curator, and even though I'm doing a curatorial fellowship there at Evanston Arts Center,
right,
it's not that I don't have a long history of curatorial practice. And I always add the practice because we're always reinventing, changing, thinking through what we do, you know, as a curator, and you have to have, like, your own, do you have to have your own gallery to be a curator, the association with a gallery? So these questions are always things that we ponder, and that keeps us fresh, you know,
mm-hmm.
in examining the world of, in the world of curatorial practice and the changing, evolving world of curatorial practice and what that means. And I think the second part of the question that I wanted to ask you, and you were kind of alluding to that, and basically it means is beyond curation work, today's curator engages the community by fostering civic, social, and cultural dialogue of ideas and creativity through public examination, interaction, research, interpretation, and exhibition of arts, science, and humanities collections. So do you want to comment on those? Because there's some areas that have gaps. When you said you were rambling, you weren't, but you were hitting these points. So as curators, do we address all of these areas in our practice?
I think I don't necessarily think, you know, the message always has to be inclusive of everything. I mean, I think when we curate, there's probably, depending on the curator, a certain direction that they want, a certain message or a certain conversation that they want the audience to have the opportunity to be involved with. So I don't think it has to be everything. You know, I do think with the curatorial practice, like when I first started to really own the fact that I am an artist, that's what I do. You know, it took a while to do that. And I, every once in a while now, and I, you know, I almost feel guilty when I say this, you know, someone that introduces themselves as an artist that's taken a couple of classes, I'm like, whoa, you know, that's interesting. You know, I've been doing this since high school and they're defining themselves the same way. And I apologize for saying it because, you know, people can define themselves any way they want, but I think that would also apply to a curatorial practice. I think there is some expertise that's required, you know, some experience, expertise to call yourself a curator. But I think it can, there's so many themes now that are important, I think, in the contemporary art world. I know that social justice was one of the themes that we were talking about in our conversation last week. And, you know, how is that discussed with various curatorial approaches? because that really has a lot to do with equity and access and diversity. And so, I don't think every exhibit or every opportunity to curate has to be all inclusive of a million different messages. I think it can be very thoughtful. And sometimes, like, when people ask me about what is your work about, you know, and it's not about anything super deep. It's about process and, you know, what's the message? Well, the message is just, you know, seeing the process, seeing improvisation, seeing layers and layers of work and what I've decided to keep and what I've decided to erase. And, you know, there isn't a deep message, but that's okay. I'm fine with that, you know. So I think a curatorial practice can be, you know, what the curator wants the dialogue to be about.
So I'm going to kind of like backtrack for a minute, like a rewind, and it's something that's just staying in my mind is how you defined your professional, your friend from Italy, you know, as a professional artist, and you defined her as she's for real, like she's the real.
What?
And what makes that what makes that different than what other how are you defining that difference? Is she a practicing artist? Does she create her own volume of work? Does she have her own studio? Or she is just in the curatorial museum gallery world as a curator?
Yeah, all of the above, I would say. I think when I kind of alluded to that, like she's the real thing, she has had a career selecting objects, mostly fashion, because that's her her area of concentration, for presentation, for shows that have a certain story. Like she is the one that when we were talking, and I'm like, well, I curate all the time. I curate what I wear. I curate what I say. I curate, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, yes, but for me, the difference is, are you telling a story each time? And I think sometimes I am and sometimes I'm not. And I think that's where, but her curatorial practice, yes, she has had the opportunity through years and years and years of being in this fashion restoration of actually medieval costumes. She's had the opportunity to put exhibits together where there is a story, there is a narrative that she's chosen. So I think possibly maybe I'm talking about scale and the opportunity of doing something and not necessarily a museum, but in a, like maybe for a bigger audience. That might be what I want to say. Not to minimize curating on a smaller scale, but I think maybe that's where I was kind of with her. I was talking about the fact that she's maybe had a lot of years of experience doing it in scale.
Right. So just to kind of tag what you're saying, is curatorial activities refer to the activities that form part of the core functions of museums, namely research. So you're saying that we actually have to go out and do the research and form the interpretation of the research so that it's cohesive to the audience that comes to visit the museum or the gallery. Collection management is documentation and conversation and communication, exhibitions, education, and public programming. Curatorial practice refers to methodologies and professional standards grounding these activities. So when I say curatorial practice, you know, those are the areas in terms of the activities that happen along the way. It's not as if curators are saying, oh, you know, I'm going to put this production on. It's just a show.
Right.
I mean, even to call art in an exhibit a show, it demeans, you know, it shifts it to another lower level to me when you say, oh, we just did a show. No, that's an exhibition. That's the difference between an exhibition and just a show, or not even knowing the jargon that comes with the in the field, because there's a whole language that we talk as artists and professionals, and even as educators, there's a whole different language
right.
that we introduce the audience to.
Right, and I think just what you said there I'm picking up on is professional standards, too, that there is a certain expectation that these people that are serious about these curatorial practices, like you were just saying, we have had experience and we're educating an audience. And the difference between a show and an exhibit. And maybe this is a question for you, too, because I thought about that a lot. Shows sometimes, maybe we're putting up a show of like, you know, and even on the selection committee of the Evanston Arts Center, the exhibition committee, we're selecting artists to exhibit their work, but the artists are curating within, so I guess we're curating the whole space, but the artists are curating their body of work within that space. So, but I do think that going back to the professional standards, expertise, the intent of what the message is, and, you know, it's like when I was teaching abstract art to my seniors in high school, usually I'd always say, look, you have to learn how to do observational drawing. You have to learn how to draw what's in front of you realistically, observationally, before you can do good abstract art. And, you know, that's how I was trained. So, you know, you don't just throw the paint on the canvas and are successful. You go through a series of steps to get there so that you understand design principles, you understand the observational drawing. You can do all these other things kind of disciplined through this series of techniques to get to the point where you can be free and loose and kind of have some faith in the process that it's going to be successful. And I think that's probably the same, you know, with anything, but with curating, you know, there's work involved. There's time that has to be spent in the process.
Exactly. So while you were explaining that, I was thinking about, we only have a couple of more minutes, but I was
yeah.
thinking about in the world of free music, every musician that I know, and I served on a board of directors for Board of Ben Arts Collective, and it was about the free music, you know, and creative sound. But all
yeah.
of them were, you know, they were all trained, you know,
yeah,
and masters in their field. They were classically trained. And then they go off into the abstract world of sound and noise, but they can come back and they read music, and like I said, they're classically trained. And as such, in the field of visual art, in the field of exhibition and museumology, we are trained in the field. That's
yeah.
that's the difference, you know. And our practice continues. It doesn't just stop after, you know, the master's or the PhD. It's something that's always a learning curve. And that's what I will leave the conversation with. You know, we only have 90 seconds left. And that's what I'll leave. And that's kind of leave the conversation with, and why I decided to say yes. I want to do this curatorial fellowship at the Evanston Arts Center, and then I have this whole year of creating and curating discussion with artists
mm-hmm.
from the field and curators like yourself on a committee, and have these conversations for this year and then do the exhibition.
Discipline and training. The last two things you said, I couldn't agree more. And I'm just delighted to have had this conversation, and we could go on and on and on for another couple hours, I'm sure. But thank you so much for including me in this series of creative conversations.
And thank you for joining me.
Thank you.
This podcast is brought to you by the Phantom Gallery Chicago Network, an artist-run project that exhibits in non-traditional gallery settings. The Phantom Gallery looks at how the city influences art and how artists transform the city by contributing to civic dialogue and quality of life. These installations produce creative conversations. I'm your host, Alpha Bhutan. Thank you for listening.